shooting from the lip.
We're taking no prisoners here.
Real opinions for real people.
John Gaunt, shooting from the lip.
Good afternoon and welcome to another edition of Shooting From The Lip with me, John Gaunt, on Sputnik International, joined by my special guest today, the former Brexit MEP, the only one actually, for Scotland, Mr. David Coburn, who joins me now.
Shooting From The Lip.
Hi, David.
Hi, John.
Now, we've had an immensely eventful few weeks, what with the pandemic. We'll come on to that in a moment. But let's start with Black Lives Matter. Where do you stand on it? And have you indeed yet taken a knee?
I most certainly have not taken a knee. I only take the knee to God and the Queen, nothing else. The scandal in America, the way the Americans police, is different to what goes on in the United Kingdom. I don't see the relevance to what's happening in the UK. This is just imported nonsense, and some essential anarchists have got behind some people who feel aggrieved, some black people feel aggrieved. I mean, things are not perfect, you know, not everything is wonderful. But what they're doing is exploiting black people for their own interests, which is essentially anarchy, breaking up the family, breaking up the country, and having a go at Britain and its wonderful heritage and history.
Do you not accept, though, that part of our history, I mean, you're Scottish, yeah, you were famous slavers, weren't you, the Scottish? Do you not feel to a certain extent that, you know, this has been the trigger, the death of George Floyd, which we all condemn, I guess, has been the trigger to start talking about racism again and to talk about our colonial or our imperial past? Or was it all just nonsense?
I think it's all nonsense. I mean, I quite frankly think that what happened to Floyd was bad policing, quite honestly. It was appalling. But that has no relevance to anything else, certainly not in this country. The police don't behave in that way. No, I think it's all nonsense. The British Empire was one of the greatest institutions in the world. It brought the rule of law and liberty and freedom of speech to the world. And what could be better? So, you know, there were things that were bad. You know, it can't be perfect. We covered a quarter of the surface of the world. There's bound to be mistakes over a period of time. And remember that what happened in the past is different. The past is a foreign country. So you can't blame, judge the people in the past by today's standards, some of which are not very good anyway.
Okay, I understand that. But when it comes to slavery, you're not in any way condoning that, are you?
No, certainly not. I'm totally opposed to any form of slavery. I'm a libertarian. You can get someone more opposed to slavery. But of course, slavery hasn't gone away. It's still, you know, in the Middle East, you still get slavery. Up until the 1920s and 30s, there were slave markets in North Africa. And in places like Mali and other places in Africa, there's plenty of slavery going on today. And in places like the Asian subcontinent, you practically have slavery. People are more or less owned by other people, that, you know, they can't get away from their jobs they're practically owned. It's like indentured servitude. So, no, the slavery exists throughout the world. And it's not just the British. I mean, if you want to have a go at slavers, now notice nobody's had a go at them at all. It's the Arabic world. No one seems to have had a go at the Middle East. I mean, in the Arabic world, we're famous for slaving. And to be honest, I mean, in Africa, when people captured the enemy tribes or whatever, they used to sell them into slavery. So it's not just the British. It's lots. Everybody was involved in slavery. I mean, the Roman Empire was involved in slavery, and the British were Roman slaves. So, you know, this is just absolute twaddle. And, you know, there's too much emphasis on this. What we should do is try and forget this sort of constant harping and try and move on to the future. Yes, we know bad things have happened in the past, but, you know, that's not going to get us anywhere, continuing to moan and nag about it. I mean, what do these people want? They want money or something, I presume.
There's been talk about reparations, but let's stay with the statues. Do you think, for example, though, we can justify having those statues now?
Oh, yes, because they're part of our history. You can't change it. And some of them are quite fine statues. I mean, they may not be to today's taste, but it would be better to have an explanation on them. I don't object to that. If these people were slavers, and that's part of the history, that should be put on the pedestal of the statue. But you can't just go around changing a country's history just because some people don't like it. That's just not the way things are.
So what do you make then of Sadiq Khan, Mayor of London, who says he's going to have a commission about which statues can stay and which statues should go? Is he overstepping the mark?
I think he's opening an absolute minefield. why don't we start having a go at some statues like Karl Marx? I mean, he was responsible enslaving, his philosophy enslaved millions in Eastern Europe. His ideas resulted in the death of millions. And he had some very, very fruity views about African people and about all sorts of people throughout the world. Quite shocking. And I'm amazed that our socialist chums haven't actually read some of his works. They're absolutely horrifying. There's plenty of people you want to knock down.
Okay. What did you make of the policing of the first protest? Well, first of all, should the protest have gone on, actually been allowed to happen when we weren't meant to meet with more than six people? Was that the wrong thing to allow them to meet in the first place?
Well, I think it's about the police selectively choose which laws they want to impose and on whom they want to impose them. That isn't right. All people should be treated equally. There should not be a special dispensation for socialists or people who are so full of themselves they think that only they have the right answer. The biggest mistake was the police force in Bristol not doing something about it. They shouldn't have allowed that statue to be pulled down. And because they allowed that statue to be pulled down, it emboldened these anarchists go on to worse things, such as damaging Churchill's statue. And that in turn led to counter demonstrations. So the whole thing is down to the police in Bristol not doing their duty. And apparently the Home Secretary had them all in for a good chat, all the chief constables. Quite frankly, I've sacked all the chief constables and put in others because they seriously cannot do their job. It's all this too much to bending the knee. You have no right to bend the knee. That is not their job. They're policemen. They're not allowed to take sides. They shouldn't bend the knee or do anything else. They should be absolutely impartial. And getting political is not what the police is for.
If the chief constable of Bristol backed his senior officers and said if they hadn't intervened, there would have been a riot. What do you say to that?
Well, then that's his job to stop it. If he can do it, get other people in who can. I mean, that is outrageous. You cannot allow disorder like that. I was in London when they had the riots in London, when the police force disappeared off the streets of London. We were all left to defend ourselves. And it was horrifying. There was a restaurant up the road from me where they broke in with meat cleavers and God knows what else and threatened people to get their rings and such, so on and so forth. No police. You rang up police. No response. Absolutely finished. Even the fire brigade were asking, where are the police? And that was a disgrace.
Okay, do you accept the point the majority of protesters in that first Black Lives protest, both in London and in Bristol, were well behaved? It was just a small group, or do you think it goes deeper than that?
I think it goes deeper than that. I think that they are being exploited by anarchists and by Marxists who have a different agenda. I mean, there are some perfectly decent Black people who are having a proper grievance. And, you know, I'm the first to stick up for them because I believe all people, you know, it's not just Black lives that matter. All lives matter, whatever your race, creed or colour. That's what we should be doing. And the Royal Navy enforced, you know, abolition of slavery. Britain was the country that led with abolition of slavery with William Wilberforce. So, you know, a lot of this is being cooped up by people with a different agenda. And Nigel Farage would have done well by that.
Okay, so after the first protest, the first weekend, there was then a second protest with a group of so-called football lads, the Democratic Football Lads Alliance, ex-veterans who wanted to protect the statues. Then Sadiq Khan covered up the statues. Was Khan right to cover up those statues?
If you cannot keep, if they are not capable of defending the statue of Winston Churchill and defending the cenotaph, then you've got to ask some serious questions about policing in this country. And, you know, I do not agree with Sadiq Khan. I was no great supporter of his, I can assure you. Boris was a much better mayor.
Now, what about Cressida Dick, going back to her? By Cressida Dick, Sadiq Khan, and indeed Boris Johnson allowing the first protest to happen, did they cause the second protest and the violence we saw then to a certain degree?
Yes, I think they did. I think that it was also perceived, I think, by just about everybody that it wasn't, they were taking sides. You know, it was all right if you were a liberal, lovey, you know, to go out and do your thing. But if you believe in your country and you have slightly right of centre views, that's not allowed. Well, I'm sorry, that's not quite on. I mean, I have very libertarian views. You know, you don't get anyone more libertarian than me. I want to be treated equally. And I think that as a perception, more than a perception, the police are not treating people equally. And taking the knee was a political act. And I was appalled at senior police officers doing that. That is just bending to a load of anarchists and troublemakers. And we mustn't forget that Mr. Floyd in America, who was killed, it was a dreadful business. But he did have a fairly serious criminal record, as did the other chap. They weren't exactly angels, but there's still no reason for someone to be murdered by the police.
So where do we go from here then? If you say the police shouldn't have taken the knee, some senior officers think they should be able to do it. Indeed, Cressida Dick has now banned it. What do you think of professional footballers, the Premier League, having Black Lives Matter on the back of their shirts? Do you mind?
It's the first thing Cressida Dick's ever done that I agreed with, stopping people taking the knee. That's the first thing she's ever done that I agree with. As regards football players, well, I don't know if it's entirely they have a choice in the matter. You know, remember that they have to abide by contracts and you know, there's a lot of force that can be exerted on people, and you don't know if that was the case, if people were forced to do that. I mean, I think that should be something people should do if they wanted to do it, but not in a football stadium. I just don't think that it's good to force everyone in a team to do it. I know that if I'd been a footballer with a multi-million pound, right, I wouldn't have liked to have disagreed with the club. This is what's wrong. You're forcing people to do stuff they wouldn't otherwise agree to do.
Okay, so then what do you make of the aeroplane by the Burnley supporter who had White Lives Matter? The police investigated it, said there was no case to answer, but what do you make of the furore around this?
Well, it's typical. It's what always happens, isn't it? You know, let's have a go. You know, I don't think it helps the situation flying planes around like that. If he'd have told a banner saying all lives matter, regardless of race, creed or colour, I would have perhaps supported that. For once, they were right and didn't do something, you know, didn't take action on this, because if they did, they'd have to take action against Black Lives Matter and all these other people. So, you know, you can't take action against one side and not the other.
Do you worry that we're being divided on race lines at the moment with all this controversy over the statues over the last few weeks?
Yes, I think it's appalling. I don't want to see civil strife in my country. I want a peaceful country, but we all get on with each other, friends from every, you know, race, creed and colour in this country. But all of them have said to me that, you know, they're pretty appalled by what's been going on. I think we should try and, yeah, never forget slavery. It was a dreadful, dreadful thing. But we should try and focus on what is good and what we all agree on and not what divides us. I mean, that's not what we need to do. We need to make sure we get on and rub along together as best we can. And we have lots of different people from lots of different places in this country. And we're one of the biggest empires in the world. So, of course, we would. So we just have to get on and not emphasise what divides us. Emphasise what pulls us together.
OK, thank you very much indeed. David Coburn with his views. He's shooting from the lip on Sputnik International. My name's Sean Gaunt. Don't dare go away. In the second half of the show, we'll talk about the lockdown. We'll talk about the easing of the lockdown. And we're going to talk about the MSM, particularly the BBC, and their coverage not only of Black Lives Matter, but also of the lockdown. And of course, 4 years ago this week, we got Brexit. Or did we? All coming up in the second half with my special guest, Mr. David Coburn.
Shooting from the lip.
Welcome back to the second half of Shooting from the Lip with my special guest this week, the Brexit MEP or ex-MEP for Scotland, Mr. David Coburn. David, what do you make of the way the media have covered the Black Lives Matter protests? Have they been biased?
BBC has been utterly biased as usual. There's the one thing we can always rely on them to be is biased. So, yes, I mean, it's ruled by a small group of people, liberal-minded, so-called. They hate Britain. They hate everything about Britain. They just want to do down our history. And really, the BBC should stop funding it out of taxpayers' money. It is utterly disgraceful they're still doing that.
Well, the BBC, of course, have just announced they're going to spend £800 million on increasing diversity. They don't think they're diverse enough. And when they talk about diversity, they're talking of people of black and Asian minorities. I would say they need to have some more working class people or some people with slightly far, and not far right, but right of centre views. What do you think?
I agree with you. They're so far down the road of diversity, they don't, You know, they don't know where they are, quite frankly. There's plenty of people from all sorts of ethnic backgrounds on the BBC, to the point where sometimes it seems the British people, or ethnically British people, or whatever you call it, you know, original citizens have been here for centuries, perhaps. That is worrying. I mean, it's getting a bit silly, and the people are fed up with it.
Okay, so you don't think the BBC represents the majority of the country, I guess, is where you're coming from. I mean, that ties in. That was the same criticism of Brexit, of course. And this week, it was 4 years to the day that we got Brexit. Are you disappointed that we're not really out?
Well, we are out. Technically, we're out, but we haven't got the deal yet. I'll believe it on the 31st of December, when we are actually physically out and we've got some sort of deal, or in World Trade Organization terms, one or the other. But I'd like, you know, I'll believe it then and not before. I'm very annoyed about the way that Nicola Sturgeon has been making a mess of things by working with our enemies in Europe and not doing what's in the interest of the entire country. We should all be working together to get the best possible deal. Well, she's not doing that, is she?
Well, she doesn't want a deal for the union, does she? Because she wants Scotland to be independent and she wants Scotland to be part of the union. What do you make of the way she's behaved during this pandemic as well?
Well, she's tried to make as much political capital for herself out of it as possible. I mean, it's difficult enough for the Prime Minister and the government to deal with this pandemic. It's not been easy. They haven't got it always right. They haven't had the experience of this before. It's an appalling plague that's hit us. So they're doing their best. Yes, they've made mistakes, but it doesn't help with someone carping in the background, and that's all she's done. And the ridiculous idea of having different rules in Scotland from England is farcical, utterly farcical. And it's all to do with her agenda of splitting Scotland off. And it's not helping the Scottish economy at all. And now she wants universities in Scotland are collapsing through lack of money. She destroyed the Scottish education system, school system. And now, because of her SNP rules and regulations on students, and the university is now in trouble. But she wants the English taxpayer to bail that out. How does that work with independence? You know, she comes up with all these crazy schemes and then expects the English to pay for it and then wants independence. How is that sensible?
Do you think that she might get drubbed at the next general election? I mean, there's going to be a massive disturbance, isn't there, because of the pandemic and everything else that's happening. I mean, do you think she can hold on to power in Scotland?
Well, it beats me why people keep voting for her. I just don't get it. And I don't think a lot of other people do in Scotland. The problem is that the opposition is split so many ways, and then the SNP are all together in one group. So the problem is that the Labour Party, the Tories, this unionist side are all split, and that's not helping things. Plus, of course, the Conservative Party in Scotland is a mess, led by Jackson Carlow, who's a Remainer. And quite honestly, it's very tweedy and it needs to be radically overhauled. It's not able to capture the imagination of Scottish people and provide an opposition to Scottish nationalism.
Okay, let's move back to Boris Johnson if we can. What do you make of his handling? Did we need a lockdown, and did he do it at the right time? I know some of this is going to be the benefit of hindsight, but how do you think he's performed?
Well, I think he's made mistakes, and he has been ill himself. You know, he's not perfect. It's a lot to expect of the man. He's just become Prime Minister, and suddenly he's facing one of the greatest plagues since biblical times, hitting us and destroying the world economy. It's not been easy. Yes, I think he's probably made mistakes, but he's been following a lot of the advice of the scientists. And, well, scientists don't run economies. He's also got to think about what's going to happen to our economy after this pandemic. I would have thought it better to do what the Swedes have done, which is basically keep things going and just get people to isolate themselves, keep themselves apart, be sensible, you know, social distancing and all the rest of it. But Sweden seems to have got out of it not much worse than us, but their economy is not in tatters. So, you know, we've ended up with an economy in shreds. It begs the question, would it be better just to do social distancing and keep things open?
Mm. It's interesting you say that. That implies that you think there was no need for a lockdown. What we should have done is shielded the vulnerable. And of course, when the inquiry happens, there's going to be a right scandal about hospitals shipping elderly people out, back into homes. That's a scandal, isn't it, David?
Absolutely, especially in Scotland. There's been an utter scandal. They should have tested people before they went back. They should never have done that. It was absolute madness. A lot of the people who died, they died because of that. It's very, very bad. I think that they've not been perfect. But what are you going to say about it? I mean, they've been dealing with the biggest problem since, 1660, whatever the Great Plague of London was. I mean, we're talking about something totally unexpected. And what you might be able to argue is, why wasn't this expected? Why haven't sufficient attention been paid to this by governments in the past and by the NHS? I mean, it was going to be a pandemic at some point, and there didn't seem to be any preparation for it. That's the question I'd be asking. What Boris has done in his government, they made mistakes, yes, but you can't blame them for that. You just can't. But you can blame successive governments for not dealing with preparations for a pandemic. That's a scandal.
Okay, fully understand that. But here we are now, and yesterday or this week, he's released the lockdown. Some people are saying that's maybe too soon. He's changed the rule from 2 metres to 1 metre. It's obviously all about the economy. But his chief medical advisor and his scientific advisor, Valance, and indeed Professor Whitty, don't seem to be happy about it. Does it worry you that we might get a second dose of this?
Yes, it does. I mean, I'm very concerned about that. Obviously, as someone who gets bronchitis in the winter sometimes, I'm not keen at all on this disease. It's something I've been trying to avoid. So, yes, I'm very worried about that. Yes, there's a problem. But on the other hand, we can't just continue as we are just now with the government pouring money out. Money they don't have, they're borrowing from God knows where, putting money out to keep people in jobs. It's not sustainable. It's simply not sustainable. I think you have to be realistic. We have to carry on. The other reason why I think Boris initially wanted to do the Swedish model and go for the herd immunity aspect, but the problem is that the French weren't going to wear that, and the European Union put a lot of pressure on them that they were going to cut us off and not allowed us to travel to Europe or whatever if we didn't do what they wanted. And I think that just frightened them into just herding with the rest, doing what the rest want and abandoning his herd immunity idea.
And so what about these new rules then about going to a pub where you've got to be socially distanced? I mean, it just won't be a pub, will it? I mean, do you think the things he came out with this week are actually going to work?
No, I think you're going to have to rely on people's common sense and people, not being stupid about it and keeping their distance. Otherwise, there's not much point. I personally don't fancy going to a pub and it being like accident in the emergency unit, with masks on. And, it isn't my idea of a good night out, to be quite frank. I don't think it's many people's idea of a good night out.
No, I fully agree with you. Let's talk about free speech before we finish. We've got about 3 minutes to go. Nigel Farage got the sack from LBC. He's put up a video this week about free speech. Raheem Kassam, friend of yours, friend of mine, ex-editor of Breitbart, used to be Nigel's PR guy. He's just got booted off Twitter. And now a lot of people are going to this new social media site. Do you think free speech is really under attack? And is Black Lives Matter, that organisation, also curtailing free speech?
Yes, I think the Black Lives Matter are trying to curtail free speech. I think free speech can never be compromised in any way. You may not like what someone says, but they must have the right to say it. And I thoroughly object to the BBC censoring people and now Twitter censoring people. I've moved to the new site with Raheem Kassam and others because many people feel what they're saying is being censored. They also want to censor President Trump. I think a lot of this is to do with they're doing anything possible to stop Trump being elected. And God help us if he isn't re-elected. That's all I can say.
Do you actually think he will be elected? Because you've got to be careful with social media. You can get wound up by it and think that that's the view of the whole world or the whole country or the whole of America. And often it's not. As Trump proved last time, his base came out for him and voted. What do you think is going to happen later this year?
I think Trump will get re-elected. Sleepy Joe Biden is a disaster on wheels. It really, I couldn't think of anybody less appropriate. He sort of reminds me of Calvin Coolidge and Herbert Hoover. I can't see this guy being president of the United States. And if he is, God help us, because he'll surrender to every anarchist group from Bright Lives Matter to the Communist Party of China. You know, they're all delighted to see Trump removed. They're all trying their best to get Trump removed between the anarchists and the Chinese Communist Party and Uncle Tom Cobley and all on the left. They're all desperate to get rid of Trump. And that's what a lot of this stuff's about. So a lot of the trouble for Black Lives Matter and a lot of the trouble on social media is all about stopping Trump getting re-elected.
Good talking to you, David. Thank you very much indeed. That's David Coburn, the former Brexit MEP, of course, for Scotland. And we'll have another guest next week who hopefully will be just as forthright as David. You've been listening to John Gaunt. It's Sputnik International and it's Shooting from the Lip. Thanks for listening.
Shooting from the Lip.
If you've got a view, I want to hear it. If you agree, I want to hear it. If you disagree, get in touch. Tell me why I'm wrong, but you better have a good argument.
This is Shooting from the Lip.